the classiest show on this station, which isn't saying much. This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
All right, kids, let's get smarter. We head out on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. Our buddy Chris Fedor covers the Cavs and the NBA for Cleveland.com. Chris, let's just get right into this, and let's talk with Tristan Thompson and Kevin Love. Love seems very difficult to me. You cover it daily. What do you think the odds of either one still being Cavaliers by the end of the day are, sir?
Bo, I think Kevin Love is low. I think there are a lot of reasons for that. Part of it is, well, I think the biggest part of it is the value that the Cavs have placed on Kevin Love, the value that they see in him every single day, is not the same value that the NBA places on him. The NBA is saying, this guy's on the wrong side of 30. He's got a long injury history. He's got a bloated contract. And he's been a little bit of a problem for you. So if we're going to take him back and take that contract that has 3 years and $90 million left, that would take us out of probably the 2021 free agency sweepstakes with Giannis, then you better give us something in order to do that. Attach a first-round pick. Attach a young player. And the Cavs are saying, no. This guy's a five-time All-Star. He's our best, most important player. We're fine with his contract. We don't have buyer's remorse on that. So you give us something because he's somebody that you need to make your playoff push. And you know how this goes. It's posturing, obviously. Right. Teams aren't going to give their best offer on a Monday. If the best offer comes on Thursday, that's the only time that it's going to come. But I just don't see him moving because I just don't see the Cavs getting that, quote, blow you away offer that would require them to actually say yes to a Kevin Love trade.
Chris, with Tristan Thompson, and he was out last night against the Oklahoma City Thunder in the Cavs' defeat, is it more likely now? He's, you read the articles about how good of a leader he has been over the last couple of years, but it seems more likely that he would be the guy that would be dealt than Kevin Love. What are the chances that Tristan Thompson's on the way out?
I think they're high, James. I really do. I think, one, there's a market for him. There are a lot of teams out there, contenders, that need centers. Look, if you're in the Western Conference and you're facing a road of Anthony Davis, Nikola Jokic, Rudy Gobert, guys like that, and if you're Dallas and you have Willie Cauley-Stein as your starting center, or you're the Los Angeles Clippers and you have Avika Zubac, would you feel more comfortable with somebody like Tristan Thompson? I think the answer to that is yes. So I do think there's a market for him. Houston is in play as well now that they moved on from Capella. So that's part of it. The other part of it is I don't think the value that the Cavs have placed on Tristan is as high as Kevin Love. So I think early on the Cavs were hoping to get a quote-unquote good first-round pick for Tristan. So that's borderline lottery, maybe early 20s. I believe they've softened on that. I think they would take just any first-round pick, even if it's between 25 and 30 from a team like the Clippers. And on top of that, I don't think he fits the ultimate vision of this team moving forward. Now, would the Cavs be willing to re-sign him in the offseason if he stays beyond the deadline? Yes, I think they would at the right price. And I think what you're going to have over the next couple of days, if Tristan is traded, I think you're going to have Rich Paul and his camp leak some stories about the Cavs being greedy and the Cavs lowballing Tristan in a contract extension. There were conversations between the Cavs and Tristan's camp about a possible contract extension, but the only way Tristan's camp was going to do something is if it was one of those sweetheart offers that was so in favor of Tristan Thompson and not very team-friendly. And I just don't think the Cavs were willing to go that direction because I think they have so many unknowns going into this offseason, including if we bring Tristan back, how does he fit the ultimate vision when we have a coach who may or may not be here that wants to play five out, that wants a five that can knock down threes and space the floor? And he obviously doesn't do that.
Okay, Chris, you mentioned it, the Cavaliers' vision. So what is that vision? What is that? What are they trying to build here? Do these pieces fit?
Yeah, so I don't know necessarily that the pieces fit, and I think the Cavs internally would tell you in a private moment that they weren't focused enough on fit, that they were just trying to acquire as much talent as possible, regardless of that. At the same time, I think they evaluated Colin Sexton after his rookie season and said, okay, that's probably not a point guard. We don't know what he is. We don't know who he is, but he's probably not a full-time point guard. So Darius Garland is somebody that would make sense for us moving forward as the future point guard. But I don't know that Darius and Colin fit. I don't know if Colin comes off the bench in the future as a sixth man type. I don't know if Kevin Porter Jr. is a three or a two long term. So I think these are all things, guys, that they have to figure out. But the ultimate vision is try and build this thing through the draft and try and build a team that is going to be disciplined, that's going to rely on ball movement and body movement and play a similar style, albeit against the Knicks the other night and the Thunder last night, a similar style to what you've seen flashes of over the last couple of games where they had more than 30 assists, where they had seven guys in double figures. They know that they can't build this thing around one guy and have it be a house of cards if LeBron leaves or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
right.
They're trying to do it the right way. They're trying not to shortcut it. They're trying not to empower one player and have him have control over this organization. Is it going to work? I have no idea. Rebuilds are so, so difficult. But I think if you're looking at process over results, there are some individual positives here that go beyond just a win-loss record.
Chris, I heard you mention kind of when you talk about the vision and the direction of the team, you kind of snuck in there whether the coach is going to be the same. You know, you talked about Tristan Thompson moving forward and all that, and I've heard your stuff about whether Beilein will be there in 21. What gives you the thought that maybe John Beilein isn't the answer there and he won't be there come 2021?
I think, guys, he's had more complications communicating his message to these guys than a lot of the Cavs internally expected. You know, they looked at it and they said, look, this is a guy who communicates with 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds. That's what he's done his entire career. He's finding ways to get the most out of these guys. He's finding ways to turn these guys who aren't five-star recruits into first-round picks. That's what we want. We want him to take these young guys and grow them. But I think a 66-year-old guy, who's now 67, by the way, has had a hard time communicating when he's not the face of the program and they aren't forced to follow everything right. That he says, communicating with these young guys. And it's not just Tristan Thompson, right? It's not just Brandon Knight, John Henson, Kevin Love, guys who know what the NBA is. Guys that know what success looks like. I think he's having a hard time getting through to Kevin Porter Jr., Darius Garland, Colin Sexton at times as well. And that doesn't mean that he's lost these guys completely, but he's had so many missteps that it's made some of these things that the Cavs are seeing on a daily basis, it's making them say, okay, can this be corrected with time, right? And I think the most important thing with this organization moving forward is whether John can find a way and the organization feels like he can find a way to get through to the young guys, because that's most important.
Chris, this was great. Appreciate your brain, buddy. Talk to you soon.
You got a guess. Anytime.
That's Chris Fedor, Cleveland.com, on the Bryan Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline.